This latest recording of yours called Blues Dialogues really speaks to some of the stuff that you do in relationship with being a violinist. I mean, you have uncovered some works, you've commissioned new works, and this is all centered on music of black composers. And that's an interest that goes back to the 1990s with that CD you put out back then, I remember, concertos, violin concertos. Tell us a little bit about your history with this.
Yeah, so in 97, I made a record, Violin Concertos by Black Composers of the 18th and 19th Centuries. It was Afro-European and Afro-Caribbean composers from the time of Mozart and Brahms. And after that record was released, I started getting numerous requests from students and parents and teachers asking me where they could find this music for their kids. And unfortunately, most of it is not accessible or available. A lot of it is out of print, or it's in manuscript only and was never published. So I had started a foundation, my RBP foundation, for the purpose of young artist support with instrument loans and financial assistance. And so I realized, wait a sec, I've got a not-for-profit, and I love music research, and I'm passionate about music education. So why don't I start this Music by Black Composers project? And so it's been 15 years of work. We've collected more than 900 pieces by more than 350 men and women from all around the world, Africa, Europe, Latin America, North America, the Caribbean, even a few from Asia and Oceania, and all classical music, and from the 1700s all the way to the present. So we just released our coloring book of the 40 most important composers throughout history, along with each of their biographies, our timeline poster of about 300 composers showing the depth and breadth of Black classical music making throughout history, and also our first curricular volume for violin that not only has lots of great pieces, but also shares some of the history about the Black orchestras of the 1800s, about the fact that Frederick Douglass and Coretta Scott King played the violin. Basically to give young African American students the idea, to help them learn that this is not somebody else's music, but that they've been involved in classical music for so many generations, and that will hopefully inspire them to be part of classical music's future as performers and audience members, but also to normalize diversity of repertoire for students of all races and ethnicities. And one of the exciting things is our curricular materials are not only Black composers, but they're the most diverse pedagogical literature for violin in existence in terms of women composers, art music from different continents, 4 centuries worth of repertoire all living together. So many things, values that, young people care about and that, they'll grow up to expect and demand that the concert music that they are participating in is, not just the narrow slice that we so often get these days. So yeah, in the course of collecting all this repertoire, I've certainly found lots of pieces that I've added to my own rotating repertoire and performed numerous times. And as a native Chicagoan growing up loving the blues alongside classical, that's how I got this idea to have an album specifically focusing on classical music inspired by the blues.
Now, you talk about more than 900 works that have been uncovered. These are not all published works, are they? You're finding manuscripts?
Exactly, and a lot of things that are out of print. So one of our big projects, we have a musicbyblackcomposers.org website, and we have a living composers directory, more than 170 composers. You can search or sort by gender, by geographic region, by year of birth. We have reading lists. We have information about composers and recordings and different things like that, but we're also working on a database for professional performers, for my colleagues. We have solo repertoire, chamber music, orchestral repertoire, etc., so that people can figure out, what exists and where can I get it. And certainly some of the things, you might get them, but they're not usable. A great case is the suite on my album by Noel DaCosta. He was a Nigerian-born composer with parents of Jamaican descent, and he spent a large part of his career in the U.S., and so he's alternately claimed as an African and African-American and a Caribbean composer. Take your pick. His piece, this 5-movement suite for unaccompanied violin, existed only in manuscript, and the handwriting was just a little too scribbly and the music a little too complex for me to be able to play it from the manuscript. But I could tell that it seemed really, really cool. So finally, I eventually got it all into the computer and was able to start practicing it, and it turned out to be even better than I had predicted. just a great, great piece. And so, you know, certainly one of the things that we're starting to do is, you know, with our database, we're going to, you know, kind of do what IMSLP does, make things that are out of copyright that were once printed long ago, you know, available as PDFs, but then for pieces that are in manuscript, we'll, you know, be able to generate versions on the computer that you can use. And for music that's still under copyright that's published, of course, we'll link to where you can buy it. And, you know, just basically break down those barriers of access.
Well, you talk about the DaCosta piece as a great piece, and it is a great piece, but this whole album is full of great pieces, and a lot of them I had never heard before. You've got some, well, obviously some commissions on here that are recorded for the first time, so nobody's ever heard them before. And I want to talk about them, but first tell us about that very first opening piece, The Blues, by David Baker. I know you have that goes way back for you.
Yeah, so I was a teenager, you know, like some kids would go to the mall and buy clothes. I would go to my local sheet music store and, you know, put way too much on my credit card over there. And one time I was leafing through the stacks and I came across this piece by David Baker called Deliver My Soul. And of course, I was familiar with, you know, things like Gershwin or the Ravel Violin Sonata that were classical music inspired by, you know, kind of jazz, I guess. But this was the first time I'd ever seen like straight up 12-bar blues, but made into a concert piece, you know, that I could play on a violin recital. And I was just like, whoa, this is awesome. So, and, you know, that was around the time that I was starting to learn how to play the blues myself. You know, I grew up in an era when classical students were not encouraged to improvise or compose or do any of those creative things, that you were really, you know, it was more strict conservative kind of approach to technical and artistic learning to play, you know, music by others. And now, of course, things are so much different in pedagogy, which is, I think, a very healthy development. But it wasn't until I was, you know, quite advanced that I started finally, you know, learning how to improvise. And having played straight up blues gives me a lot of insights in how to, you know, have the right flavor when I'm playing classical art music that has the blues as a building block. But the David Baker is definitely a favorite, and I've performed it numerous times. I think I have a YouTube video of one of my old concerts of it. So, yeah, it's a favorite for sure.
Well, you follow that up with that work by Collars Taylor Perkinson, who is just a wonderful composer who deserves to be heard by everybody.
And oh, my gosh. Yeah, he's literally one of my favorite composers, period. I have never heard of work of his that I didn't absolutely love, and there's one movement of the Calvary Ostinato from his Suite for Solo Cello that I will actually listen on repeat like 30, 40 times to this movement over and over again. It's just kind of, there's something addictive. I actually have a hard time practicing his Louisiana Blues Strat, which has become one of my favorite encores because, you know, there will be a measure that I need to clean up and work on. But as soon as like the piece gets going, I want to just keep playing the entire piece instead of sticking on that measure. And I've never experienced that with any other piece. It's the most uncanny thing. It's like the music just needs to be heard. Yeah. Something very compelling about his voice.
That's great. Now, the title of the CD, Blues Dialogues, comes from a work by Dolores White. Can you introduce that for us? She added an extra movement for this recording, right?
Yeah, so actually, wonderful violinist, son of George Walker, the first African-American to win the Pulitzer. He has a violinist son, Gregory Walker, who's a composer in his own right, as well as a professor out in Boulder. And Gregory Walker had recorded the original three-movement version of Dolores White's Blues Dialogue on an album entirely of works by African-American women composers, with his late mother, Helen Walker Hill, who did so much research in that area and was a wonderful pianist. So I was familiar with that piece and had always wanted to play it and had the opportunity to work with Dolores White for a special recital a couple of years ago. I, of course, you know, out of all of the pieces that she had composed, I was really stuck on this one as the one I wanted to do first. And then it turned out that she had revised the first couple of movements and added a fourth. So it was an even longer and cooler piece than it was originally. And what I think is fascinating is just the variety of approaches of the different composers to blending the blues and classical. There's definitely as many different voices as there are composers, not not a whole lot of uniformity, which is awesome.
Yeah. Well, and the title of her work is perfect for the CD because so many of these pieces are different shades of blue, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about the Billy Childs piece, which I know was a commission that you made directly, and it seems like an important piece that addresses social issues, and that's not something you hear so much in classical music. You hear it more in other genres of music, but I think this is a wonderful piece with a message.
Yeah, well, sadly, you know, there's almost a subgenre in its own right of Black Lives Matter pieces that are, you know, starting to be written and heard. One of the most moving examples of that, just an incredible piece that I was lucky enough to hear performed live, but you can find it on YouTube, and there's a whole website dedicated to this work. It's called The Seven Last Words of the Unarmed. The piece that Billy Childs wrote for me about the Philando Castile killing, which happened in Minneapolis, that is, you know, yet another, not the seven last words of the unarmed. He was not among those seven. There's no lack of material, sad to say. I had worked with Billy Childs previously on an unaccompanied suite for violin that he wrote as part of my Bach Partitas project. And you know, I've really loved working with him and love his music, and asked him to write something for violin and piano for me because he hadn't ever written anything for that instrumental combination yet. And he asked if he could write something with this subject matter because it was something that was really on his mind. And it's a haunting piece. There's a very ominous foreboding feel to the beginning, and then a very visceral description of the famous, seven gunshots and, you know, the cries of the young child in the back seat, and, you know, and then the anger and the grief, and then, you know, and ends with, you know, the same music it started with, you know, as if to say this is probably going to happen again. And, you know, he says in the liner notes that his idea with this piece is to make you think, but I think it's also very much designed to make you feel. And, you know, we're not doing our job as artists if we don't, you know, try to use our art to not only, you know, heal and uplift the spirit, but also to call attention to things that need to be discussed. You know, I recently heard Ricardo Muti in the Chicago Symphony perform Shostakovich's Babi Yar. And, you know, we need to shine a light on atrocities and hopefully be, you know, contributing towards changing things.
I'm curious how many of these composers actually play the violin. I know Daniel Bernard Romain, of course, is a well-known violinist, but the violin, you usually think of the blues in conjunction with the guitar. What role does the violin play in that genre?
Actually, if you go back into history, and yeah, I'm a research geek, I've done a lot of this, the European violin, the fiddle, is by far the most frequently mentioned instrument in the slave narratives, and that's not a coincidence. There are, you know, so many of these bowed-stringed instruments from West African countries, and then when people were brought over in the Middle Passage, the plantation owners would give their workers the European violin to play the Celtic jigs and things that they wanted to listen to. But then, the Africans would play their own music on this instrument that was similar to what they used to play. And so eventually, you know, this sort of African-American fiddle music joined together with the Celtic fiddling became what we think of as American fiddling, the Appalachian style, and so forth. And of course, the violin was therefore one of the original instruments of the blues, the old string bands with the banjo and the fiddle.
Wow.
Before the guitar even joined in, and long before the electric guitar. And so actually there are some wonderful compilations of historic field recordings, you know, of music from, you know, more than 100 years ago, of these old guys playing, you know, the violin blues. And it's really fascinating. Now, of course, with everything being plugged in and, you know, instrumentation kind of changing, the blues is thought of as an exotic instrument within the genre. But when you go back in history, it actually was one of the originators. So that's really fun. And actually, speaking of violinists, I want to highlight Clarence Cameron White. This is the earliest written piece on the album, and it's really fascinating to think about his life because his compositions were performed and recorded by guys like Kreisler and Heifetz.
Oh, really?
The particular track on this album that I recorded was previously recorded by Yasha Heifetz. But yet, Clarence Cameron White himself, despite being a virtuoso violinist by all accounts, couldn't get hired to play normal concerts. He played for the Black community and taught within the Black community. Of course, there were many African-American classical music societies back then, as well as, all Black orchestras going back to the 1800s. And he never recorded anything himself, recorded his own music, which, clearly was a case of discrimination. And I just wish I could have heard him play his pieces, but we do at least have a snapshot of his artistry through his compositions. And, they're absolutely wonderful. And this particular piece is kind of a sandwich structure. It has original music at the beginning and end. And then in the middle is the old spiritual Go Down Moses, with the Let My People Go refrain. Mm. And I actually got to perform this a few times with William Warfield, which was an absolute honor and thrill.
Yeah, in Chicago, because he lived there during the last years of his life. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. Well, this CD is so rich, full of such history as well as new works that are very important for people to listen to. More information, I imagine they can go to the musicbyblackcomposers.org website.
Absolutely.
Yeah, find out more about it. It's called Blues Dialogues, Rachel Barton Pine, the violinist, along with pianist Matthew Hagel. Rachel, thanks so much for checking in with us here on FM 91.
Oh, thank you.